Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Everybody's going to be like, why did he shake his head like that? Because I hit the wrong thing. I'm recording to the cloud and not the computer. That's fine. This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Horatio.
That'd be a little weird.
Would you ask, wherefore art thou, Horatio?
Sure. I would ask, why did Malik Newman work out? Horatio. What happened, Horatio?
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. It's too bad there's not a train station that ran through there. Oh, well. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Whatever you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Our friend Maria told me about the farmer's market. They sell beef there. I'm going to go check that out this weekend, see what I can figure out. You know I'm a planner when it comes to the grill. I'm going to have to wait and see what they have available on Saturday to make my final decisions about cooking. But I think that's the way I'm going to go and go check that out. Guys, if you don't have a local farmer's market, I'm sure you've got a local butcher shop. And if you don't have that, there's always the grocery store. Those guys there, get to know your meat market, guys. I know Brad over at Kroger. He knows when I'm coming. And he's always like, hey, I got this over here. They'll let you know what's up. And you can find some great deals always. Weeknight meals are cooking out something big on the weekend. Nothing better than beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. You guys need stuff with the new logos. The season's almost here. Don't show up in that same ratty, maroon, falling apart banner M polo. It's time for something new. Get it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area. Originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant. For lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch, the best meal in town always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. If you want to enjoy a fantastic lunch today, or not today, I guess that Tuesday, they're open. Restaurant Tyler is the place to go. Robbie's a fried chicken man. Occasionally, he'll get the hamburger steak. I am more of a blackened catfish kind of guy.
I do not get the hamburger steak.
I've seen you get it.
You have not seen me get the hamburger
steak. Who is it? Who did we have lunch with somebody the other day? They got it?
My dad got it, I think, one day.
Maybe that's who I'm thinking of. Rob Falk.
Yes.
Okay. It's
Brother Rob.
Brother Rob. You got to be a real man to have two nicknames.
Yes.
You don't know. You also have
Big
difficult
Daddy, Brother Rob.
To be Big Daddy and Brother Rob.
I mean, well, Brother Rob's more a title.
It is, but at the same time, it comes across as a nickname.
Yeah, it does.
So, I'm just saying. What does it matter what you want to eat at Restaurant Tyler? It's all good. Always a great lunch. Go grab one today. Restaurant Tyler. Best meal in town. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, how they're going to help you prepare for your future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about money, you need answers. You need a bank that operates on your time and your schedule and knows you as well as it knows your money. That's PriorityOneBank.com. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We're going to do another positional breakdown today to kind of wrap up everything with that. We'll do special teams a little later this week. I think there's some good questions there about the return game and who State wants to put out there. But today we'll talk about safeties. A little later in the show, you'll hear from Mississippi State safeties coach Matt Barnes in his interview that we did with him a week ago on Assistant Coach Day. But this is another group, Robbie, where I feel like State has drastically improved its talent level. They've done so with the transfer portal. They've added a junior college guy that I'm very excited about. And they made a position change that I think could be a big deal for Mississippi State. But it all starts with Isaac Smith, who we maybe we're talking about him in the wrong. It's gonna be interesting. Did we miss our opportunity to talk about Isaac Smith? Because we've already done the linebackers. Here we are at the safeties, but it feels like he might be a little bit more of a linebacker this year after all.
According to him the other day, I mean, he just straight up came out and said it. And this is the first time the other day that I can remember him like going all in talking about linebacker. Because we asked about it in the spring, and in the spring he said it's going to be pretty much what I was already doing, which was kind of floating around and playing in the box a little bit. And so we kind of went with that. We kept hearing, no, he's going to be playing a lot more linebacker. And so asked him again at SEC Media Days. And it's pretty much the same thing. Like 2 weeks later, which was this past week, 2 weeks later, he's like, yeah, I'm at linebacker. Like we see him at practice. He's working out with linebackers. He's spending most of his time there. And he said that that's pretty much been, the spot he's working the most right now. And I asked him after the press conference which position that is. And he mentioned Sam, which I don't think State ran a ton of Sam last year. They ran Will and Jack.
And Mike,
So,
obviously.
I mean, obviously you can have a Sam with a three-man front, but State was running more three linebackers, if I remember right. If they go to a 4-3, which I think is a possibility that they run more often, that
So you
comes
think
into
more
play.
4-3 than 4-2-5, really?
Well, I think you can run
Yeah.
variations
Okay.
of it. You'll have opportunities for nickel in there, that star position, something similar to that. The Jacks playing more defensive end at times with their hand on the ground. I just think that there's going to be a lot of different things that they do, but I do think we will see more four down line, completely kind of away from this topic of Isaac Smith.
Yeah.
But Isaac is working more outside linebacker, and I think it would be a good spot for him. I think that he can do really well at that position. I'm very much intrigued to see how it all plays out with him.
Well, the good news for State is they obviously feel like they have enough depth at the safety position to make this move. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. And it kind of starts with one of the guys I had pretty high on our all 22 rankings the other day, a guy I feel like is going to make a big impact for Mississippi State. And that's Jerron Manning, the transfer from Old Dominion, who was I believe a second team all Sun Belt player. Hey, I really have high expectations for him. We've talked about Tony Mitchell on this show. I think you and I agreed that he was the most impressive defensive guy in the spring game that we saw a couple months ago. You've still got some experienced guys like Brylan Lanier and Hunter Washington, Tyler Woodard. These are guys who played good big roles for you a season ago. You've got a guy that you seem to be very intrigued by in Jabrius Stewart, a guy you think could make an impact for Mississippi State this year. And then you've got Stonka Burnside, who was probably State's special teams MVP a season ago. Well, if we're talking about non-kickers. I thought that every time he was out there on special teams, he felt like he made an impact. He made a big tackle. The move to defense seemed like a foregone conclusion by the end of the season. And now that's where he is. He's in that safety room. That's six or seven guys that I feel, I don't, I'm with everybody else. I don't really want Hunter Washington as a starter, but if he's your fourth safety, it's sort of the same debate we have with Jordan Mosley, right? If he's your fourth receiver, you're probably pretty good. If Hunter Washington is your fourth safety, if he's the guy who's sort of the swing guy between the three starters, you're probably okay. I think this is a pretty decent group here. I think you've got some high-end talent potentially with Smith, with Mitchell, with Manning, and with Stonka, and you've got some solid depth behind them. I feel like this is a good group.
Yeah, it's solid. I think that they upgraded the talent and they got more depth. And there's different things that you can do with the guys in that room. You can move them around the field a little bit. Like, I mean, we're seeing Isaac Smith play a completely different position. And there's several guys like that. Jabrius Stewart, I think, is a guy capable of doing that. Jerron Manning a little bit. So I think it's a fairly deep and pretty talented group. I mentioned the other day with a guy like Tony Mitchell, I think they've raised the floor of the group in the ceiling. because Tony Mitchell, I think, is the guy that can do a lot of things for you. Isaac Smith, obviously. I think Manning's really talented. That there's more talent out there, and there's better talent out there this season. So I don't have a whole lot of issues with that group. I think you can make some comments about the cornerbacks that are justified, but all the other defensive positions right now seem to be very much improved from a depth standpoint and talent. I think all the other position groups got better in the offseason.
I think when we talk about this group, to me, the thing that I'm worried about is turnovers. This is not a group that produced a lot of turnovers last year. I talked about Isaac Smith, didn't really have a great season as far as forcing interceptions. Hunter Washington, I think, did he have a pick or two? He had that. Did he have one against like Arkansas or something like that?
Yeah, he might have had an interception.
That's weird.
You know, and
Mr. Season statistics are not available.
Isaac was asked to
There we
do
go.
something different than some of those guys,
It
but
obviously so.
he
So,
went in coverage all the time.
right. I'm looking through the stats here to see who had interceptions last year. I don't even remember.
I mean, you had one
I'm
from a couple of linebackers. You had there.
So State had, yeah. So State had, as a team, I mean, this is just sad, really, when you look
Seven.
at seven picks, only one by a safety, and that was Hunter Washington. Elijah Cannon had a pick, Nick Mitchell, Brylon Lanier, but he was playing corner last year.
The
Diego
year
Bum.
before, didn't they only have like one pick from a corner, or maybe like
I'll tell you in a second.
zero interceptions?
You're right. Bryce Pollock had one. We still don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm glad he's gone.
Pollock, according to
Zachary,
him.
yeah, well, I feel uncomfortable saying that. Zachary Tillman, and then Hunter Washington had a pick against Texas A&M. Your safeties have got to get more interceptions than that. You got to have somebody back there with three or four interceptions. The point you're trying to make is it was two seasons ago. State didn't have a corner with an interception. It was Bukie Watson,
Jet
Jet
Johnson.
Johnson, and Sean Preston. Those are the only three guys who had interceptions the whole year. That's 2 years
Crazy,
in a
man.
row. When you think about it, you think about the year, the years before that, when you had Emmanuel Forbes getting interceptions, you had a lot more turnovers. So State has got to find a way. Gosh, State only had, is this a, yeah, State only had 11 turnovers as a defense last year. They had seven picks and they recovered four fumbles.
And that was
That's
probably.
almost impossible.
That was probably what they did best. That's the sad thing. It's
Yeah.
like what they did best as a defense was probably intercepting passes or forcing fumbles. And they forced 11, you said?
They forced 11 turnovers total, less than one per game.
I
That's difficult. That's very
think they
difficult.
were obviously towards the bottom of the SEC
Yeah.
and turnover margin, so.
Yeah. So this group, Manning, I expect Manning and Burnside. Let me go back a little bit. Am I setting my sights a little high on Stonka here? How big a role does he have this year?
I think probably a little bit. I think people should temper their expectations a little bit for him, because while he's totally talented and he has played safety before, making that jump from playing wide receiver all last year to safety in the SEC is not going to be something that I think is an immediate turnaround for him to just automatically be an all-SEC guy. So. It like watching him a little bit, I think he's playing catch up right now, because he's a very talented guy. There's some talented people in that group. It's not like he's just, coming in and he's just going to push everybody to the side. So I think it is something that you have to take a little bit of a step back on and a wait and see. But I think eventually he'll be good. I just don't know what that looks like in year one for him at safety. I think probably you'll see an increased role in special teams. You'll see him get on the field and play, but expecting all SEC level right away, I just don't know if that's going to happen.
I wouldn't say I'm expecting all SEC level. I just expect him to make a good contribution. So is that fair?
And I think that's possible.
A guy who could have a couple of picks this year because he's such a good athlete. I feel like he can get near the ball. He's a guy that I feel like if he can get his hands on the ball, he's a threat to go the other way with it too. Because he's
Yes.
such a good athlete, and he's got the skills of playing receiver before this.
Oh yeah, no, totally. I mean, if the ball is ever in his hands, you got an excellent chance of a nice return slash touchdown. I mean, that's he's a playmaker. So I would like to see him get on the field. I'm just interested to see if that happens or not this year. I think they got more depth, they got more talent, so you don't have to have him go out there and be good for you to have a good season, but it would be nice to have him out there.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be an improved group. And it goes back to something we were talking about yesterday, that Mississippi State has to hope that the concoction that they've put together of defensive line, linebacker, and safety is good enough that it covers up the lack of personnel they have at the cornerback position. And I think that's something that, when you think about it, it can make a lot of sense, right? If you're not good one place, but you're good the other three places, it should balance itself out. State's not so bad at cornerback that it becomes a massive drain on these other three groups. I know there's a lot of talk about State just going to be better on defense by default. I mean, that's not entirely true, right? They could find a way to be worse. I don't think that they will, but people act like they're just going to show up and be better. That's the same people who thought they were just going to show up and be okay last year. I never thought that defense was going to be good. They ended up being much worse than I thought they would be. This year, I'm setting my expectations low so that they have a great chance to exceed my expectations. And if they do that, this could end up being a postseason team. The safety position, I think you get an all-SEC guy out of this group. Certainly Isaac Smith is going to be one of those candidates, but I feel like Manning, maybe Mitchell by season's end is going to be drawing a lot of attention.
I would think so too, especially after having the spring they got. And Mitchell was a really easy transition for him coming over from junior college. I mean, he obviously played at Alabama and he didn't miss much of a beat coming back into the SEC. He looked like he belonged here. And I've heard some really good things on Jerron Manning, so I know you're really, really high on him. And he showed up on some clips already online, making some plays. It looks like I don't know what to make of the structure of the depth chart or whatever, but it looks like he's spending a lot of the times in the 11-on-11. So I expect him to be in the two deep. We have not seen a lot of that from Stonka, and we didn't see it a whole lot in the spring either. So I think I would temper my expectations for him a little bit. But I do think the safety group should be
Should be
solid. It
much
should be,
improved over last year.
last year you just didn't have a whole lot of faith outside Isaac Smith.
And we talked yesterday about big plays. Having guys who can play over the top, safeties who can play coverage over the top, is a big piece of that. And State just they lacked that last year. This year it feels like they got faster, more athletic back there. They should be in a much better position. Let's talk to the guy who would know a little bit more about it than us, maybe. Maybe. Robbie and I know what we're talking about for the most part. Let's talk to Mississippi State. Let's see. He's assistant defensive coordinator, right? He still has that title, does he not?
I believe co-DB
Co-defensive
coordinator.
coordinator and safeties coach.
It's kind of crazy that like nobody has ever
Nobody
like
believes
hit,
him.
everybody blames Hutzler.
Well, I mean,
And I think we all know though at this point, like Hutzler is the head guy. Like I think there's just a title.
right.
You know, it's just
I
what
feel
I mean,
like you feel.
Lebby has talked about Hutz being the guy, so
Yeah,
I mean
nobody talks about, but Matt, hey, if you're Matt Barnes,
I
you're
think
like,
Matt Barnes is perfectly okay with
I'll
that.
stay under the radar. Absolutely. I think he's got a much improved group here. Let's get his thoughts on it. Mississippi State assistant coach Matt Barnes.
Coach, obviously last year, defense is obviously a team unit deal, but pass rush was a bit of an issue last year, so it makes your guys' job that much harder. How has maybe the workload changed a little bit with the influx of new players back in the spring?
I mean, definitely some things we needed to get cleaned up on defense, and it's a Jimmy's and Joe's game, not an X and O's game. So getting the right guys in the right place is the name of the game, and I think we did a nice job. Coach Turner and Coach Dancy and Coach Hutzler and everybody involved did a nice job bolstering the front in the off season, which is what we needed to get done. And when they don't have long to throw it, we tend to cover better on the back end, so we're tanking.
I talked to Isaac Smith at Media Days. I told him he's probably the only college football player in the country who wants to have less stats this year than he had the season before. How do you keep his impact on the game high while maybe seeing him have fewer tackles per game?
Yeah. I mean, Isaac will always be right in the middle of it. You know, the thing from a coaching standpoint, or those of us that are living it on a day-to-day, is there's so much value that you can add beyond just the production sheet that you see Saturday after the game. You know, I think that's at every level. There's a safety or a linebacker that's out there that maybe he didn't make, you know, nine tackles or whatever, but he's making sure that everybody's lined up in the right place, and he's alerting the defense to what the offense is likely to do, and et cetera. So, I mean, there's so many ways to be a productive player without it necessarily translating to the statistical categories. And Isaac will always have that benefit. You know, he's just such a cerebral player, worked really hard at the game, always super well prepared. He's like a quarterback of the defense.
Where do you foresee his role this year? Obviously, he's a versatile guy, Isaac, that can play different spots.
Yeah. I mean, I think he said it. I think it's versatile. I think it's different spots. I think, you know, the name of the game on defense is to try to make the offense left-handed. And when we can put Isaac in a position that tilts things in our favor, that's what we're going to do. It's all speculative at this point, as, you know, we got to go to training camp and see what shakes out at the end of the day. It's, you know, Coach Hutzler leads the charge, but it's our job as a staff to make sure we have the best players on the field doing what they do best. So,
Isaac spoke a lot at Media Days about player accountability after last season, and in terms of him and the other experienced players coming back from last year, what have you seen in that regard in terms of leadership and just trying to right the wrongs from last year?
Yeah, it's been cool to watch the players really take charge of that. I mean, every coach would tell you, probably across any sport, that the best teams in team sports anyway are the ones that are player-led and not fed by the coaching staff. Player-led, not coach-fed. So those guys taking the reins on that is a huge deal. When your best players are your best leaders, good things should happen.
What kind of player is Jerron Marion? What do you kind of see his role being this year?
Yeah, a great one. He's a great player. Was a great player at his previous school, and I mean, you see it. You know, you know why he is. He's again highly intelligent, but highly intelligent with also a great work ethic. Works at the game. You know, I tell the guys all the time at this, you know, everybody's fast, everybody's big, everybody's strong, everybody can jump, everybody can cover, everybody can tackle. You know, your advantage in this game moving forward is 6 inches from ear to ear. You know, if you can recognize formations and understand situational football and have a pretty good idea of what's coming and how, within whatever defense that we have called, how you need to get us adjusted to have a successful down. Those are the guys that play a long time, you know, and 40 times and, you know, combines and those things, those are fun, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's 11-on-11 football, and a guy that knows what's going to happen and can communicate that to the defense is invaluable, and that's the kind of thing that Jerron brings.
De'Bryce Stewart is a very interesting guy, a very interesting story. I know he can play multiple positions too. I mean, what have you seen from him? What impact do you expect from him?
Yeah. Again, time will tell. It's hard to say exactly what you anticipate from a guy just from a spring. So, you know, I'll reserve the right to form another opinion after training camp. But he's definitely a run and hit guy, super coachable, awesome young man, extremely explosive. I mean, like right away, if I was going to say, you know, pound the table and say, this is what I expect him to be a demon for us on special teams at the very least. Obviously, you know, the more that you can prove on special teams, and then ultimately you're gaining additional role on defense or offense if you play offense. But he's a definite run and hit scud missile.
What kind of progress have you seen Stonka make since making that switch to safety?
Yeah. Huge strides. But I would just say, you know, the caveat to that is I don't care who you are. If you spent your whole life playing one position and then at a certain level and now you're at essentially the highest level, at least of collegiate football, and you've made a major change in what you're playing, there's going to be a learning curve there. Where did he go from day one to whatever day it was when we left the spring? I mean, enormous leaps and bounds. I'd like to think that progress has continued over the summer. I know that it has. I see it, you know, in the meeting room and things like that. So looking for a big training camp from him, and we just all need to understand that particularly at safety and linebacker and some of the higher processing positions that there is no substitute for a guy that's taken 10,000, I mean, how do you become a master of anything, right? 10,000 hours. So You know, when you don't have as many hours or as many reps under your belt, it's just, you know, there is no substitute for those reps. But we're very pleased with the progress he's made and extremely excited about the future.
How much more comfortable in your mind is Brylon Lanier now that he's back at safety? How much more comfortable does he look there?
Really comfortable. I mean, he played outside for us last year out of necessity. That was another position that Coach Bell and Coach Hutzler and Coach Levy have done a great job making some additions to the corner room, as well as bringing along some younger players and some guys that were here for us last year. I think, you know, feel good about that as well.
What have you seen from Darnell Mitchell?
A lot. He's an instinctive player. He's another guy that has some position versatility, you know, somewhere between a linebacker and a traditional safety. Game comes pretty naturally to Tony. Got to stay healthy. That's some things that he's battled in his past at other schools, just staying on the field type things. So looking for a great training camp from him as well.
You mentioned the impact special teams can make. Is Stonka a good example of that?
Absolutely. And that was, I think, the first time I met with Stonka about changing to safety is the goal. We put a couple of clips of him. I mean, he had a big hit on a punt cover against Georgia last year, and another one there against a team up north. We just kind of watched those clips and said, hey, man, look, ultimately the goal is to get you to play as fast on defense as you are here on special teams. And the advantage of special teams is in some areas, most areas, it's a little bit less thinking. It's a little bit, you don't have to learn as much. There's just less moving parts. And that's kind of going back to that whole 10,000 hours thing. If you've got 10,000 hours playing safety, all of a sudden those moving parts aren't moving as much. You know, you're just used to seeing it. So, absolutely. What we saw from the for lack of a better word, the violence that we saw from Stonka last year on special teams is exactly what we have seen in flashes of him at safety and what we look forward to seeing regularly from him in the future.
What are you just hoping to learn or accomplish with your safeties throughout this training camp?
Learn and accomplish. I'm trying to learn who are the ones that give us the best opportunity to win, and where can we and how can I help them on Saturdays when we're on the field. You know, ultimately, there's so much work that goes into this profession, and that's on every aspect. That's for a player, for a coach, for a support staff, weight staff, nutrition staff. It said there's so much work, and ultimately, we're really judged on 3-4 hours every Saturday in the fall. So just being as pointed as we can, and understand that it's a big deal to be a guy that we put on the field. That means we really trust you. Because believe me, as coaches, we have a lot riding on it as well. So just looking forward to learn who's ready to play, who can we trust on the field, and then what can we do to support them, get the best chance to be the best version of themselves.
Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. A trip to Two Brothers is always a good thing. You'll never have a bad time at Two Brothers or at the Older Brother, two of Robbie and I's favorite places, not only in Starkville, but across the conference. He and I travel all over the place covering sports. We always love to talk about Two Brothers and the Older Brother. When anybody asks us where they should eat in town, always high on the list. Next Wednesday, the 13th, Sports Talk, Talking Dogs with Robbie Falk, 1 to 2. Sports Talk Mississippi, 3 to 6. Thunder and Lightning Live, 6 to 7 is a full day at Two Brothers in the Cotton District. We're going to have some great stuff to give away. Please come out and see us and talk some MSU sports with us. We're going to have some great guests. I will solidify that list very soon, and I will pivot back to all of this with some synergy a little later. Don't you worry about that. Going to be a great day, August the 13th. Come out and check us out at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50, brother.
When you need technology for your business, you need a new copier, a new printer, whatever it is, new computers, new laptops, they've got you at Advantage Business Systems with a great product at a great price. But more importantly than that, they're going to deliver service after the sale. Anybody can sell you a laptop. Anybody can sell you a printer. Who's there when that thing breaks? Who's there for you when you need to get it fixed and get it fixed quickly? Imagine if your copier broke and I told you, okay, we'll be out there in about a week to get it fixed. You can't go on like that. You need a business that supports you. That's what you get with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville for football season, you know full well you're going to have to make some trips to Maroon & Co. But the good news is you're going to be able to have some great MSU gear. So check them out. MSU gear, the best place in town to get it is Maroon & Co. They have the biggest and best selection. They have everything under one roof. If you're looking for hats, shirts, polos, pullovers, if you're looking for stuff for your car, for your tailgate, whatever it is, Maroon & White, they've got it at Maroon & Co. And they've got our promo code so you can save a little money. Thunder 15, 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to Davis Wade, you need to go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden will put some John Deere power on your lawn today. It is the peak of mowing season out there. You want to make sure your lawn looks better than everybody else's. You need John Deere doing the mowing for you. Go get a John Deere compact mower, compact tractor, a commercial mower, the zero-turn mowers. They've got all the tools there. Whatever you like to do. John Deere has got a tool for you to keep your yard looking better than everybody else's. I know how you yardsmen are out there. You're like, I want to make sure my yard looks better than everybody else's. It becomes a point of pride. You got to have great equipment to do that. That's what you need, John Deere. Go see my friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. They will get you taken care of. Saltillo, Mississippi. Before you work out in the yard this weekend, make a trip to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. I'm just going to explain that this whole SEC prediction thing this year, I've made a train wreck of it. I take full responsibility. My bad. We think we're doing Missouri today. Pretty sure we haven't done Missouri. I have not done a good job of keeping it. I have my picks. I know what I picked for the games, but I have not done a good job of keeping up. That is 100% on me. Robbie, I apologize.
So we're 100% certain that we have not done Missouri yet.
We are about 97% sure.
All right. Well, let's do Missouri for the second time, I bet.
It's not the second time, because I'm pretty sure it's not.
Okay.
I'm pretty
sure. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I trust you.
Let's look at it like this. Maybe you can help jog your own memory here. All right, we know we haven't done State and Ole Miss. Those are the last two every year, all right? Have we done Alabama?
Yes, I believe we have.
Okay. I know we've done Arkansas. I know we've done Auburn. I know we've done Florida. I know we've done Georgia. Have we done Kentucky?
I'm not sure. You're going to have to go back and listen. All right, so what's really hung me up here is when I was on the show with Borky, we did the
100
teams in 100 days, and we did – I'm almost positive we did Missouri.
Okay.
And I remember if we didn't do it, then we've done it on this show.
We've done an opponent preview on Missouri on this show.
Okay, let's just do it. And right. I mean, people can call this a train wreck if they want to. These things run together, and Brian doesn't keep up with it.
It's my fault.
It's Brian's responsibility.
It's my fault.
I just show up. I don't put any prep into the show. I literally just show up, and Brian presses play. This is Brian's show.
You did some prep last Friday.
Did the all 22.
Very rarely does Robbie walk in the door to knowing what we're going to talk about.
Very rarely.
Yeah.
Rumblings day.
Rumblings. He knows like some days we have certain things.
Yeah.
Like Monday, Monday on Labor Day, he knows that he has to tell him Falk ready. Things are true, stuff like that.
But yeah, that just comes with it.
It comes with the territory. Here we go. Missouri. What they want to say about Missouri is this. They're a 9-win season away from me just assuming they're going to be good every year, right? They won 11 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They won 9 last year.
They're actually like legit good 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, they beat Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl.
They have one of the best running backs in the country.
Yeah.
None of us thought was going to be that good.
Yeah.
And last year, like, I thought they took a step back, but they were still
good.
Good. I mean, they.
So if they go 9-3 this year, I'm like, all right, I guess they're just good. Let's see what happens. They start the year off with Central Arkansas on a Thursday. So we'll give them a win there.
All right.
And then the Border War is back. I believe this game is it's on campus, so it's at Columbia, Missouri, as they take on the Kansas Jayhawks. That is a sneaky, underrated rivalry for hate. Those two fan bases despise each other.
Yes. I didn't realize how badly they despise each other until I heard about like the basketball. Like, they really do hate each other. And that's,
yeah.
I mean, that's been going back well over 100 years.
Yes.
Like, it's a big time rivalry. And Kansas is a totally different program these days than what we used to look at with Kansas. That game's changed now a little bit. If this was at Kansas, I might think a little differently about it, but I think I'll go with Missouri.
Okay. I'm going to go Missouri as well.
Does Kansas have their new stadium yet?
You know, yeah, they're back on campus stadium. Now. They played at the Chiefs stadium last year, did they not?
I thought they played at a soccer stadium last year.
They played some games at Arrowhead. I don't know if they played at a soccer stadium or not, but they did play some games at Arrowhead.
Yeah, I think it was a soccer stadium.
Okay, well. I got Missouri winning as well. So 2-0. They play Louisiana. That's a win. Then they're at they host South Carolina in the Battle of the Columbias. I put Missouri winning this game.
I think so too. South Carolina's getting a ton of hype, and I'm not ready to get on board with that.
I got you. All right. So 4-0, 5-0. They play UMass the next. All right. They're off to a fantastic start.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the Kansas win will be a good win. I think South Carolina will be a good win.
All right. Then they had a week off.
5 straight home games to start the season.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah, I think we did talk about that.
Yeah. It's actually 6 straight home games to start the season because the next week they host Alabama after their off week.
It is 6.
Yeah. I think they'll lose to Alabama.
Yes, they will lose to Alabama.
Then they're at Auburn, first road game of the year. That makes that interesting. It's the first road game. Their first road game is October the 18th.
I feel like they're playing every week at home. They do go on the road for 4 games, but...
So they have 8 home games this year. Yeah, that's crazy. Mm. I think they beat Auburn.
At Auburn?
Yeah.
Ooh. I'm going to go with Auburn here. And I think I picked Auburn in this game when we did the Auburn.
Did I? I'm a little bit double check. I have it as a loss for Auburn. So
I think Missouri wins this at Auburn.
I think Auburn wins this. Okay.
Auburn is a very difficult place to play.
So you're 5-2 and I'm 6-1.
And I think I got Auburn kind of getting it together late in the year.
Yeah. At Vanderbilt, they'll win there.
I think so too.
All right. At Texas, I'm sorry, a week off, and then they host A&M. Last year, this game was a blowout in College Station. I think Missouri is good, but they're not so good that they just show up and win every week. Yeah. I'm going to have them lose this game.
Yeah, and like I'm still not sold on I don't know what's their quarterback situation.
Bo Pribula.
Yeah, I'm not there yet with him.
Yeah.
They've had their guy for the last few years, and like everything was pretty much riding on him being healthy last year, and they just kind of rode him. I like Marcel Reed a lot. I think that A&M wins this.
Yeah. So me and you both. So you've got them with 3 losses. I've got them with 2. I think they beat Mississippi State. What do you mean?
That is my spoiler on my media poll. That is the team. That's the game that I think State can win.
And win.
That I project them to lose.
Okay.
But I'm projecting to lose it. So we'll see what happens. But I think as of today, I would pick Missouri in that game.
All right. At Oklahoma, again, I feel like Missouri, they're always good for one botch a year. This is it. I got Oklahoma winning this game.
Would that really be a botch?
Well, I don't think Oklahoma's going to be very good. So, yeah.
I think they'll be okay, and it's at Oklahoma. So I would take Oklahoma in this anyways. All right.
And then they finish the year at Arkansas. I have that as a win for the Tigers. So put me down for A&M for Missouri going 9-3. So they're right where I'm saying that, I just think they're good now.
8-4.
So you've got 8-4. That's still a good season, though.
It's good.
Yeah. Because especially when you think about in what we're saying here, 3 of your losses are toss-ups. Auburn, A&M, and Oklahoma. Missouri could win all of those games.
Yeah.
So.
And I saw yesterday – I saw a stat that really blew my mind about Missouri. This is one of the winningest like programs in the SEC.
Yeah.
Since before they were in the SEC. I think dating back to 2010, they had like 7-10 win seasons or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's been a solid program. It's just nobody really Here it is. 10 win season since 2007. Missouri leads the SEC with 7.
Mm-hmm.
6 for Texas, 6 for Florida. Well, no, Alabama, and this isn't everybody in the SEC. It's just the teams underneath them is like Texas, Florida, Ole Miss. Auburn's had 3 seasons. Tennessee's had 3 seasons of 10 wins.
Yeah.
State's only had 1.
Yeah.
So it's been a,
they've been a good
productive
program. The problem is they've had some low lows in there.
They have.
They've had some 3 and 4 win seasons in there.
Well, and yeah, I mean, you came into the SEC as the best team in the SEC East. They went to the SEC Championship.
Second year.
Two years in a row.
Yeah, their first year they were bad. Like 12, the first year, 12, right. They were bad.
And then
they went
really
back-to-back year. Well, I mean, people forget this a lot. In 13, if they had won the SEC Championship game, they would have played for the national title. They would have played Florida State in the national championship game. Mm-hmm. But Auburn beat them, and Auburn goes on to do that. So, yeah, you're right. All right, I'm not going to tell you who we're doing next week. I will go back and listen, and I'll make sure of where we are, and we'll get it all straight. But I do know that in 2 weeks we're doing Ole Miss, and then the week after that we're doing State. I do know that for a fact. So we only have like 1 more week.
Sounds good.
Something like that. All right. We're going to be recording early a.m. On Tuesday morning. So go ahead and get your rumbling stuff in now, Robbie, if you want to go ahead and fire off that tweet so we can start getting some questions in. Tomorrow will be the rumblings, and we'll have plenty more to talk about as the week goes on. He's passed away, but it would have been really funny if, like, my father-in-law just wandered in here and we could have been like, oh, hey, it's just father-in-law's all over the place today.
That would be pretty funny.
Pretty funny, but oh well. All right. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.